Welcome to our Elder Affairs Service here on WADK, and we kick off our first Elder Affairs program of the new year with a great discussion about an important topic with the State Director of AARP Rhode Island, Catherine Taylor, who joins us on the line. Catherine, always nice to talk to you.
You too, Bruce. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year to you. I am fine, and I hope you are the same, and the new year is treating you well.
So far, so good.
Good. It's about a tie, right?
Right. 5 days in. All's well.
There we go. There we go. Well, this is a project that we're going to talk about that AARP has been involved in mightily and has really brought it to the forefront. It's known as ADU, and it's about finding housing for some folks who, would like to keep living where they're living and to be on their own and a whole bunch of other considerations. So let's talk ADU.
Right, that's right. Accessory dwelling units, which are, you know, apartments that can be inside a main house, or they could be in a garage or a carriage house or a little freestanding house, just with a little extra dwelling that could be for one or two people. It could be for an older person who needs their own space, but, you know, needs accessible place to live, no stairs and, you know, wider doorways and things like that. It could be for a caregiver to live there. It could be, if you want to downsize but stay in your same neighborhood and you want to turn your big house over to your kids and grandkids. I mean, there are a lot of different ways that that ADUs are a great option for us to live as we grow older, or, you know, to accommodate our families and the people in our lives.
And it's an important project, one that AARP has really brought to the forefront and in some interesting ways. And you have a guest today who's really going to talk about some innovation where these accessory dwelling units, these ADUs, are concerned.
I do. You know, we've had these conversations, you know, we've realized a lot of people can't really picture an ADU or picture themselves in one. So in order to help with that and to help people visualize it, we teamed up with the Rhode Island School of Design on a project. So I'm super excited to introduce our guest and my friend, Elizabeth Debs, who is an interior design faculty member at the Rhode Island School of Design, or RISD as we like to call it, about a project that we worked on for the better part of last year that culminated in November. And a nice little part two coming up. So good morning, Elizabeth.
Good morning, Catherine. Happy New Year to you and to Bruce. Delighted to be here.
Same to you. Welcome.
Great. So we reached out to Elizabeth and her colleagues at RISD to see if they'd be interested in having their students have an ADU design competition. And so that we could have a bunch of really creative and interesting designs to look at and to show people and to sort of imagine the possibilities. So, Elizabeth, I'd love to turn it over to you just to talk about kind of how the project came to be. And then we can talk about, you know, game time, so the weekend of, and how that all unfurled. It was just a wonderful project. I'm so excited about it.
Oh, that's great. Thank you, Catherine. Well, you know, we're always looking for opportunities to engage with the community, and AARP has just been a phenomenal partner, I must say. So our students are drawn from all over the world. We have a very, very international faculty and student body. They bring a wide range of expertise from different locales, and I would say, in general, everyone has someone in their life that could benefit from, you know, improved living conditions. So it was a very exciting project for all of us, really. We divided our 120 students and faculty into 10 teams, and that resulted in 10 quite different approaches to the project, which I think is one of the great benefits of putting the firepower of these design students on an important community issue. So on the weekend of, it was a very quick turnaround. We assigned the project on the Thursday. The students worked in teams of 10, and then they submitted their work on the Monday. We had an in-person jury, and then we had online voting as well. Some of the teams emerged, slightly ahead of others. But as I said, each proposal had an element of merit or two that really could be applied to furthering good design for people that need it. Is there more that you'd like me to say, Catherine?
Yeah. So I was going to say that a few days beforehand, we had a lecture for the students before they were given the assignment. The secret assignment, where we had a consultant come in that AARP. Rhode Island brought in to talk to them about universal design and what that means and how important it is. So that was a really exciting thing to be able to collaborate with you all on. And so then when the designs were revealed, Elizabeth, I'd be curious to know what some of your favorite features that some of the students devised or designed were.
Oh, absolutely. I think that all of them were very much impressed by and understanding the universal design concepts. And so certainly we saw that in every submission, which was great. Some of the strategies varied kind of between the interior design work and a more kind of urbanistic approach. So I'll go from big to small. One of the teams considered a typical suburban block and created a community of ADUs in the backyards of about five or six single family homes, and that was kind of exciting. Another one created a prototype in which the core elements like the kitchens and bathrooms were sort of in the body of it, but there was an awful lot of opportunity to add and subtract. So one could have one person living in it with one addition, or one could have as many as 4 to 6 people living in it. So that was very exciting, I think. Most of them incorporated some green and sustainability features, but one really focused heavily on solar energy and resource reduction, relying on natural light and natural ventilation, water collection. So that was very exciting too. Many of them were really focused on reducing the costs of construction and these days the time of construction. So a lot looked to modular design and prefabricated elements and the idea of flexibility for the future. So if you have a module or a prototype, then you can add and subtract over the tenure of the household living in the space, which I think was one of the important criteria that AARP laid out in the beginning, is thinking that, you know, it's not a static thing that you create once, but it's something that needs to evolve as the family needs change.
Right. You have a colleague on your faculty, right, who has an ADU that he's used it for all sorts of different purposes over the course of its lifetime. Isn't that right?
Absolutely. Yes. I think, without giving too much detail, but he and his wife initially created it to help foster children. And then at some juncture, it was rented to an individual who needed housing on a temporary basis. And then I think lastly, before they sold the property, it was used for his elderly relative. So it had numerous iterations in its lifetime, and it was, you know, sufficiently adaptable to accommodate all the different types of needs.
Right. And that's the importance of universal design, which is much more than just accessible design. It means that anybody in any circumstance can comfortably use the space, correct?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, ADA, American Disabilities Act, was wonderful in that it helped accommodate specific disabilities, but universal design is really quite an advancement on that, in that it accommodates a range of needs and that there's no specialty design, as it were, for a distinctive population, but it really is design that supports everybody's well-being.
So Bruce and everybody listening, Elizabeth and I had very exciting news about this project, which this happened over the first weekend in November. But we're bringing the designs to the State House on January 25th at a public event at 3 o'clock in the State House Library. All of the student designs, their models and their posters will be on display there. And we're going to have a speaking program, and the students will be on hand to describe their projects and answer questions. So we invite the public to come and join us. Again, that's January 25th at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in the State House Library, which is on the second floor. And if you'd like to come, and there'll be refreshments too. We want people to kind of linger and really take these wonderful designs in and start to think about, you know, how these might fit into your plans or into your neighborhood. You can go to, as I always say, aarp.org/RIEvents to register. Again, it's free, and we would love to see your listeners there.
Well, that sounds great, and what an exciting opportunity. It'll be like a mini home show there at the State House.
Yes.
Everybody can get some ideas, bring your plans, and prepare to be inspired, as we say. I think that part of what you're doing, Elizabeth and Catherine, is opening our eyes to the possibilities. I mean, we have always, at least when I've heard you talk about these ADUs in the past, it goes beyond an in-law apartment, or we're going to do over the garage or something like that. They're very, very exciting. And the thing that appeals, or the thing I guess I wondered about, was the feasibility of building a separate dwelling on your own property. I mean, is that encouraged? Can you give us a reveal at all of any of these designs? Do they seem to take on that characteristic, or are they more extensions?
Well, RISD students being creative types,
yes.
The brief was...
I'm expecting to see a treehouse, quite frankly.
Oh, you will not be disappointed. I encourage you to come see them. But the brief required a freestanding dwelling, and nonetheless, we had many of those. We had some attached to the rear. We had some additions to the second story. We had some attached to the front. No one took over the garage, which was actually surprising.
Yeah.
But we did have a wide range of variations, which was really lovely to see.
Isn't that interesting? And were these students Rhode Islanders? Were they from a lot of different places? And did that reflect their designs? Can you tell us?
Oh, they are literally from all over. We have a large cohort from China at the moment, from
really?
India. We have Turkish students, Middle Eastern students, European students. We do have some American students as well. But, you know, it's a global institution. And so they're not local. They're learning the language of, you know, suburban America, because that's what the example was. And I think they brought some of the insights from their own countries and upbringings to the work here. So they're... extremely compassionate and sensitive towards the occupants, which I think is lovely.
Yeah.
And, you know, not necessarily a Rhode Island lens by any means, but I think we really, really benefited from the range of different life experiences from the students.
Isn't that great? And that brings up another aspect to this that I didn't hear either of you speak about, and I haven't heard it discussed in the discussion of these accessory dwelling units. I mean, think about the influence of the culture of China and separate it out for a minute. The culture of China starts out honoring the elders and revering the elders. So that has to figure into this design. And you mentioned, Elizabeth, that they were particularly sensitive to folks who were going to be dwelling in this. This really could lead to an entirely different point of view on those who are going to get older, and there's a lot of that going around.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, many of our students, you know, are very aware of the needs of caring for their elderly relatives, and as you say, they do it with a great deal of reverence and care, and that I believe that really shows in their designs. The other thing is that there are a lot of examples elsewhere of co-housing, for instance, of elderly with students. Everybody's so, you know, so many wonderful examples around the world, and important to bring them to the work that we're doing here.
Wow, this is really exciting. This is going to be a tremendous opportunity. So other than signing up and showing up at the State House, is there any way we can get a little bit of a glimpse as to what these students are working on?
Not quite yet.
Okay.
We are rushing towards the finish line to make the posters perfect for their display, and we're thinking of different ways to share them. We had talked about doing a website around that, but right now the focus is on getting them up physically in the library at the State House.
That's right. The 25th is the big reveal, so okay. We won't have anything anybody can see before that. But if people can't make it on that day, I believe that we will have some photos and some video from the event up on our webpage, aarp.org/riedus, after the 25th, so people can be on the lookout there. But we'd really love to see them, everybody at the State House.
You bet. In the meantime, though, that's a great resource that you just mentioned, Catherine, aarp.org/riedu or ADUs?
ADUs.
With an S.
Yeah.
Okay.
So excellent. There's information, about what they are and legislative activity and, again, some great videos and photos of what they can be. And we're just really excited right now to bring design in as a way for people to understand how ADUs might be a really good option for helping them to choose how they live as they age.
Yeah. Very, very exciting. And boy, what a great place that we are in to be able to call upon the Rhode Island School of Design to bring this about. That is really going to be something unique. And I have to believe, like so many other of the events and so many other of the projects that you've started at AARP Rhode Island here, Catherine, that the national AARP has to take notice of this.
Oh, yes. And they've actually supported us every bit of the way. We've got some nice technical assistance and a consultant that really helps us shape this project together. And they're very thrilled with this culmination with this public event too. So I'm very, very grateful to my colleagues at the National Office of Livable Communities for their support of these great things on the ground.
Well, it is all just
for helping us to be a little creative.
For sure. How exciting. And so let's put the invitation out there once again. It's January 25th at the State House. And
that's right.
You're invited to come and see what is possible with the design of accessory dwelling units, ADU design at the State House. And Catherine and Elizabeth, give us the particulars one more time, and how can we sign up, find out more?
Absolutely. So 3 p.m. on January 25th, State House Library, which is on the second floor, and you can register. It's free and open to the public, but you do need to register at aarp.org/rievents. And while you're there, you can check out all of our other free events. We have our online healthy living series. You can do cooking, tai chi, laughter yoga, and everybody dance. Those are monthly occurrences. We'd love to see everybody online being healthy in 2024 as well.
Yes, this is the time to get that plan and that program into action. And it is going to be a very, very exciting year. Wonderful. Well, we look forward to seeing and hearing much more. Elizabeth Debs, Rhode Island School of Design, thanks so much for being with us, and all the best to you and your students. Thanks again.
Thank you so much. We're delighted to be here, and we look forward to seeing you in person at the State House.
You bet. And Catherine Taylor, our AARP Rhode Island State Director, always a great discussion with you, and you take good care, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Bruce. It was great to be on. And again, thanks to Elizabeth and the Rhode Island School of Design for an amazing partnership.
You bet. And we're proud to bring it to you as part of our Elder Affairs Service here on WADK, here on FM 101.1 and AM 1540, and more coming. Welcome to our Elder Affairs Service. We do this the first and third Fridays of the month. And as we keep kind of coming back to, as I say, is a lot of this going around from the moment we're born, we're aging. And in this society that is obsessed with youth and all of that, well, we know what matters. And our next host here knows a lot about what matters, senior matters, from New England Senior Advisors. We welcome Helen Hames. Helen, nice to have you with us.
Thank you, Bruce. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're very excited to talk to you and get your point of view and to help in helping you get the word out in really assisting a lot of, a lot of people who are going through what all of us are going to go through at one point or another. Now, you've been helping seniors for some time. Tell us about you.
Yeah, I've been working in senior living and with seniors for over 10 years. I worked for brands within the independent living, assisted living, and memory care space, actually at communities here on Aquidneck Island and throughout New England, and then later as a corporate director of sales and marketing, helping multiple communities. And it was very gratifying and rewarding. I met with many families and found a common thread that it's just seniors and their adult children are just simply overwhelmed by the maze of things that need to be considered beyond financial, which can be astronomical for many. There's health, there's quality of life. And at the very core of it, everybody should be empowered to be themselves. I think that the approach is very you-centric, and meaning it's about the person in front of me, not about me. And what I found is, regardless of where you are in terms of a senior living community, one size doesn't fit all. So in October, I left my job to become a senior advisor, which is really what I've been for many years. I went through some training as well to get certified, and I live here in Newport. And what I'd like to do is help people on Aquidneck Island and throughout Rhode Island to get to know them, hear about them, and help them navigate whether it's home care or going to a community. I'll work with families to help with that process. I have a network of people and consultants throughout Rhode Island, whether they're elder law attorneys, financial, whatever, but it's just such a critical time. And I find that people, it's tough to go it alone, whether you're a caregiver, an adult child, or even a senior looking for independent living.
So where do we usually look for such assistance, and why is it that we're not always successful in finding it? It just doesn't feel like the solution. Why do you suppose that is?
Well, I think that what happens as people grow older, I'm 60. I don't know what I'm going to face when I get older, and maybe I might need some care, and it's tough to figure out what options are out there. And if you call up a community, that is a single place, right? So right. They're wonderful and very knowledgeable, but they are offering the best that they have within their environment. And so there's a lot of other things to consider. And there are not a lot of people out there that work directly with families to vet out what's out there, make a short list, because if you call one of these online sites, they're going to send 10 different options at these families, which is overwhelming. And the way it works is that the communities are happy to work with me. They pay me a referral fee. So families do not have to pay me or the senior themselves. I'll work with these communities, and they're happy to have someone come in and really cover the bases and understand what they're about and match them to someone's particular needs.
Is the main concern, or at least the initial concern in a case like this, Helen, the financial burden and the financial thicket that you have to navigate?
Yeah, and that's a broad term. And I think it's just senior living communities are just starting now to publish prices on their website. But of course, that is a huge concern. But then there's also things like, anything in trust to protect your assets? There's the five-year look back with Medicaid. There are some things that have happened within Medicare after COVID that sometimes there's more home care assistance available that they'll cover than there used to be. So those are the kind of things that you could be proactive before committing to any certain path. The financial piece is a huge piece.
Well, it has been for many, many, many years. I mean, way before COVID and way before all of this government overreach and so forth, it was always the, depending on who you talk to, just this insurmountable burden. You don't want to end up at the nursing home. They're going to take your house. I mean, how many people heard that for generations and generations? It's interesting, in light of what you're talking about, Helen Haynes from New England Senior Advisors, in light of what you're talking about, that still seems to be a sticking point. It can be somewhat of a call to action or a call to avoid action. It can be fearsome when someone hears that, and we're still hearing it. You know, I, if you have elderly parents or grandparents or whatnot, you've been hearing this for 50 years. It's interesting how in some ways it has not changed. So is there what Senior Advisors is attempting to do is not only to be someone who can guide us, but who might also be a resource to bring in other people with other expertise. Is that right?
That's right. And I think you raise a good point, because that fear has not gone away. I think some changes have been made that we're leaning in the right direction in terms of coverage, and even what we're trying to do to give caregivers, adult children caregivers or caregivers, some relief. But we have a long way to go. And so we stay on top of what's going on today and now. Obviously, I'm not an expert at everything, but I can hear things and say, now you might want to talk to an elder law attorney before you do this, or you might want to talk to your CPA. That is a resource I can bring in. And this really comes from helping hundreds of families in my career. And I can recall more than once, many times, that I'd say, before you move in, I think you need to talk to somebody, because I'm hearing that this and this might not be in order. And so that's what it's all about, because none of us can be an expert at everything.
Well, for sure. Having navigated someone is going to go through when going into assisted living or independent living, you're having seen what can happen and having a knowledge of the playing field, you certainly would be in a position to direct someone in the right direction. Would you be in a position to be able to refer specific experts in these specific fields, or is that what your goal is?
Both. I do have contacts here on Aquidneck Island who I've worked with, whether it's a senior real estate specialist, elder law attorney, financial planner, even downsizers and things like that. But I'm looking to expand the network as well. So if anybody's listening, that I'd really be happy to talk with you. There's a lot to it, and it's constantly changing. I think anybody on Medicare knows that that's a complex web within itself.
Sure. Do you need someone with that particular area of expertise? Has it gotten to that point where you really can't go it alone?
I think that when you get to the point where you need care, if I look
through the lens of where I'm coming from in senior care. And as you get older, there are some considerations that you might be leaving on the table that you could actually get coverage for. And so, and typically assisted living and independent living and memory care is private pay, but there could be options on the home care side. So even though how I represent to find the right community, I certainly want to help if that community option isn't right for another person.
Sure. And that would seem to be terribly relieving to someone who thinks that they're looking down the barrel of independent living or going somewhere, but finding out that home care might be an option.
Right. That's right. And then it is like in the other thing about senior living and residential senior living, that I think it's not a crisis always that brings someone there. For every crisis, I've worked with probably 10 non-crises that people will just want to move to a place where, hey, they're sick of cooking and cleaning and shoveling snow. Or they want to hang out with people and have easy access to that. There's so many wonderful ways that I've seen people thrive and just love it. But even that, you want to make sure it's right for you, even whether the circumstances are, hey, this is for me, or I'm looking at a crisis right now and I got to look into a few things.
Sure. Helen Hames from Senior Advisors. And Helen, we just found this week that Rhode Island, despite what we may be led to believe, is not losing population to the degree that perhaps the conventional wisdom would have us believe. Are you focused on people who want to spend their time here in Rhode Island, or will you be able to assist someone who wants to move you know where?
I could assist if somebody wanted to move, but my focus primarily is Rhode Island. I live here. I love it here. And, you know, I moved to Newport in particular because of the walkability. That was really important to me as I age and grow older, and just it's a great place to live. But I think part of it is beyond a great place to live. I'm reading reports that we're considered to be one of these up and coming blue zone states or areas where people are living longer. They're looking at longevity trends, and there's something about this great state where we live that that's becoming a factor too.
Well, there has to be something to this. I mean, that report came out this week that talked about states that people are moving from and people that are moving to, and we happen to be one of the states that people are moving to. So it's pretty interesting. And there is a significant percentage of people who are moving out, and they tend to be younger. So the ones moving in seem to be older. So it's kind of an interesting thing there. You know, we do have, and you're so right, Helen Hames, that we have tremendous resources, and there are some wonderful folks, individuals, and organizations that have been helping seniors for quite some time. When we think of those individuals in those groups, are they able to manage in this increased demand, or is it a situation where they're overworked, or is there a better place for someone to turn who needs some advice? And it could be as simple as finding a great place to walk or some companionship or something like that. What do you say?
I think there's a couple of things that I'm hearing in the question. I love this question. I do think there's limited resources for seniors everywhere. I just came off of being with a bunch of certified senior advisors, which I am one of them, and there's a shortage of all sorts of resources. We see it in healthcare with staffing. But it goes beyond that, because as the population grows, there's fewer people to serve. And so I would love to be a connection point to help people there. But then on the other side, with a community in Newport and Aquidneck Island, there is a lot of resources and ways that we can connect with organizations. And I think of Edward King House as a great example.
Sure.
That they go beyond being a senior center. They cannot, because I've worked with them in the past. And if there's an urgent call to help people, say there's a short, they can't afford a walker, or things like that, that she'll mobilize, or the community will mobilize to help others. And it's this whole village approach to helping people age at home or in their town is really starting to take shape, not only here, but in so many places. So there is a shortage, but I think when there is need, we certainly can answer that call.
Well, our time has just flown by here. It's been so great to visit with you today. We have just over a minute remaining here, so we want to put out the call to action. If someone would like to find out more and get some help from Helen Hames and senior advisors, how do we reach you?
I put up a page on the web. If you go to NewEnglandSeniorAdvisors.com, there'll be a form. And you just fill out the form, and it connects to my calendar. So if you want to schedule 20 minutes with me, whether you're a resource in town, a senior, an adult child, just go on my calendar. I am available Monday through Saturday, and I know people sometimes after 5. Please feel free to schedule time. I'm happy to connect and help in any way I can. There's a lot of need out there. So again, NewEnglandSeniorAdvisors.com, and just you can schedule some time, or I can just give you a call.
And just under a minute remaining with Helen Hames for New England Senior Advisors. How about someone who would like to join your network of advisors? Same information, same contact?
Yes, that would be fine. I would love that. I would love that. And I look forward to coming back.
Well, we look forward to visiting with you and to getting into some of these specific topics and needs of our friends, and to make life around here, which is already pleasant for the most part, to make it pleasant and to navigate those unpleasant times with New England Senior Advisors and Helen Hames. Great to meet you. We look forward to speaking with you again in just a couple of weeks. Thanks again for being with us.
Thanks so much, Bruce.
And it's part of our Elder Affairs Service here on 101.1 FM and 1540 AM.